Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Today we have David Horgan, Chairman and Managing Director of Clontarf Energy. Hi David, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good to hear it. Nice to have you on the Share Talk platform. And just for our listeners, do you think you can give them a small overview of the company and the current operations?
Yes, we're an AIM-listed energy explorer, both active in oil and gas and also lithium, that would be used for the new economy's lithium-ion batteries.
Okay. And so let's talk about a few of the questions that we had from shareholders, and I'll jump with the first one, which is to do with the Valaris MS-1 rig. It's on location, and the current schedule expects the drilling through the target reservoir occurring at earliest between Thursday the 2nd and Sunday the 5th of June. Do you receive daily operational updates, or will the operators notify you once they reach touchdown?
Well, we're actually involved, both Clontarf Energy and the other partners, because there's four partners involved in drilling this well. We're involved in daily or sometimes several times daily meetings. I've just come back from the Western Gas office, and I'll be going out on the rig tomorrow for a couple of days. So we're very much involved in the quality control and the strategic thinking on this important well.
What about the recent acquisition for 10% of the Sassanov 1 drill under the WA519P license? Do you have a percentage of any other upcoming drills?
Well, we have 10% of this very large prospective block, which includes a large stratigraphic trap called the Sassanov play. In addition, there are deeper targets on the same block, which are the more traditional producer for gas that's fed into the Australian liquefied natural gas system. They're in a deeper age of rocks we call the Jurassic. So we've already got 10% of that entire block, both the current drill target and also deeper targets. And we also have the extension horizontally, if it goes off the block, into other blocks held by our partner, Western Gas. In addition, Western Gas acquired from Hess, the American independent oil company, a number of plays in acreage, both offshore and onshore, and we're currently evaluating the possibility of doing the same thing again, raising some money in Australia with a view to farming into big upside, relatively low geological risk play. So we do have access to the flow.
Okay, and you mentioned finances there. So you did a placing for $3.5 million before expenses on working capital in April. As the company's board continues to assess the new projects, in particularly the advanced gas exploration prospects in Australia, do you think you can give us, our listeners, any clues as to how that's progressing?
Yes, the logic of Australia is that if you look at the world gas market particularly, there are critical shortages, which is why the consumption of coal in Asia and Europe is again surging. And that's due to both the fast recovery from COVID, but also, of course, the geopolitical problems with Russia. Russia is 40% of the European gas market. So where do you go? If you go around the world, you know, there are some stranded gas operations in the Middle East and North Africa, but they have their own political issues and operational issues resulting from the Arab Spring. Qatar is a very big source of gas, but it shares its big gas field with Iran, and there's issues in the Persian Gulf. So if you want low risk, there isn't a lot of immediate choice. The United States does have 12.5% of global supply, which has grown from nothing, but that's based on fracked gas, which has a relatively short cycle and needs a lot of reinvestment and doesn't have a huge in situ or proven reserves, you know, for the long term, not compared to Russia or Iran or Qatar or Australia. So if you look around the world by process of elimination, Australia is in that sweet spot. It's maybe the last jurisdiction, at least in Western Australia, that would ever turn against mining, because mining has been so good to Western Australia. And even the current Labour government is a big fan of mining. And it's got good legal title and reasonable tax terms. And it's the obvious supplier to the hungry Asian gas market. So that's why we plunged into the North West Shelf. This particular well has been a dream. It's in reasonable depth of water, 1,068 meters of water. But for some of your listeners that will be familiar with the North Atlantic, it's a bit of a dawdle compared to the North Atlantic. You know, you do have cyclones, but we're out of the cyclone season, and the prevailing winds are relatively modest. When you get a swell of 3 meters, the Aussies think that's heavy seas, but of course that would be nothing for the west of Scotland or west of Ireland. And so far the well has gone really well. We drilled without significant incident down to the top seal. This part of Australia has a very good top seal, so that big risk that you worry about in most parts of the world doesn't really exist here. And we've drilled down over 2,000 meters of rock, about 30 meters into the top seal, and we can confirm that it does appear to be exactly where you'd expect it to be, on track with discoveries up dip and down dip. And we've completed the main cementation job, but we're basically putting the blowout preventer in place. We're doing all the safety checks to make sure that we don't lose control in the event that we hit a very high pressure gas pocket and have a blowout. And once all those tests and are complete and we're satisfied that the cementation is safe and satisfactory, then we expect to drill into the primary target, which is about 2,500 meters below the seabed level. And that's not the main producer in the Northwest Shelf. The main producer is deeper, but it's a very attractive source of gas in the nearest discovery down dip, which was full to the brim. And the reason why we're optimistic about this well is down dip, the discovery of Mentorp was full to the brim. So whatever gas was generated has had to have gone somewhere. And normally you'd expect that gas to flow up the dip along the migration paths. But what was interesting is if you look at the same reservoir horizon of sandstones up dip, further up dip, in wells drilled by Chevron in past decades, they were not full of gas in that reservoir horizon. And our interpretation of that, where we have a certainty of gas down dip and not gas up dip, at least in that reservoir, our interpretation is that the gas has gone somewhere. There doesn't appear to be any fractures or chimneys going to surface. And therefore, we're optimistic that the gas would have been trapped within our block. And sure enough, there is a nice structure that we're drilling through, but the structure falls in the middle of a very big stratigraphic trap. And our hope is if the structure and stratigraphic trap are full, it could be a very large discovery. It could be multi-TCFs. So we have a nice combination of a relatively low risk rate, still odds against, of course, but relatively low risk rate because the rocks are so well understood and the operating conditions are fairly straightforward, while at the same time, a very large target structure, much bigger than you'd expect in a mature province.
I think that's quite a good thorough answer to that question then. Thank you, David. I'm going to ask you a last question is how you see the company in this year, 2022, unfolding, and what investors can look forward to. What are they listening out for?
Well, this well that we're currently drilling is obviously a big test. If it's successful, it will transform the company. Even if it were not commercial, we would be interested in pursuing the deeper targets, which are not being drilled on this particular campaign, and indeed other plays in the neighbouring area of the Northwest Shelf of Australia for the same macro reasons, because the world needs gas. The gas price is very high, about $23 now in Asia, and many people are adding LNG trains that don't have adequate feedstock at the moment. So the world, and Australia particularly, has a shortage of gas feedstock, and we'd like to be one of the players that contribute to filling that shortage. In addition, we have substantial acreage in the Ghanaian Tano Basin, offshore Ghana, and that's of similar water depth to what we have in Australia and similar weather conditions, maybe slightly rougher. And we signed a petroleum agreement on the Ghanaian acreage, but we haven't prioritized the ratification of it in recent years, mainly because of the near death of the farmer market. Now, these are wells that require, you know, about $25 million or maybe more, even with low rig rates. And that needs bigger partners because we don't want to dilute our shareholders by raising that much money. And in a reasonable market, you will find partners for good plays. In a bad market like the last 6-7 years, it's been very difficult to farm down on any sort of satisfactory terms. And as a result, we've taken a foot off the accelerator in Ghana a bit. But as the oil and gas market tightens so dramatically throughout the world, I think the situation will change in the near term. And hopefully we'll be able to move ahead with the ratification of that acreage and also bringing in a partner and hopefully drilling targets there. And then lastly, we've got a very interesting play in lithium brines in Bolivia. We're probably the company that's been longest involved in Bolivian lithium. We were held back from 2011 because of the election of a left-leaning Indigenous government that initially wanted to develop the lithium 100% under state control. Now, that's simply impossible, as anyone who knows the industry will tell you, because most of the processing is done in China by leading Chinese battery manufacturers. And it's compounded by the fact that you need capital, which has been difficult to raise for Bolivia. You need technology that is only now evolving. And also, of course, you need access to market. And we bring all three to the Bolivian authorities, and we hope to sign very shortly a technical cooperation agreement with the Bolivian authorities that will enable us to continue with our work, which would be bench testing, the mapping of the reserve, and drilling out of the reserve with a view to forming a joint venture as soon as the legal form that's now underway is completed. And that will likely be a minority joint venture, like 49% to the international contractor and 51% to the state lithium company. So the next few months should be quite eventful for shareholders.
It definitely sounds like that. And we look forward to getting an update again with you in the future, David, when you've got some more news to bring us.
Many thanks.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.